Good. Hello.
Welcome to Suck
Wings.
Off.
Oh,
Wings
sorry.
Off. Yeah.
The TV show Wings.
Right. I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of Wings?
Never heard of Wings.
You know what? I'm not going to sit here and explain Wings to you.
Okay.
We should do a Wings recap podcast.
People want us to keep going.
We should do a Family Guy recap podcast. I've been meaning to pitch this to you.
That'd be so... It's a family drama.
Yeah.
A family comedy. Same dynamics, yeah. The episode where Peter dies.
I was literally going to say the Grim Reaper episode. Do you mean where Brian dies?
I don't know. I said that as a joke because Logan, father.
Oh.
But
you know...
I know Brian dies. I knew about that.
A really fun question you can ask people is, what's the dog's name from Family Guy? It's been a thrilling... Ask a gay person, what's the dog's name from Family Guy? And they will come up with some really wackadoo answers. People do not know Family Guy the way I know Family Guy, apparently.
It's Brian. Everyone knows it's Brian. Okay. I do get it mixed up with Stewie. And I'm like, the dog's the one that talks funny. But no, the joke is that the dog talks normal. Anyway.
This is
Succession off. America decides.
America does not, in fact, decide...
Before I even started the episode, I saw that title and I was like, hilarious. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
What a sode. Honestly, I sat there screaming the whole time. I was like,
I was like nervous. I had like a stomach ache most of the episode.
Mm.
And I was like, this was a lot like episode 3 where I was like, there's not a chance in hell I can watch this again. And then this morning I had to watch it again.
God bless you.
And I'm glad I did, because I think it's maybe my favorite episode of the season.
Really?
So far. I think it's a phenomenal episode. Because I'm like, it's the first time that I feel like the real characters come out in this season.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been there, but like, it's been a season of them kind of like processing and like working through grief, and you kind of sympathize with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then this episode, they just like make all the worst decisions that come from these like deep, rooted traumas they all have, and you're like, that's the real person there. That's like what they would do in a situation like this. So I think it's an incredible episode. Like,
delicious.
Even Greg, who we'll talk about, has a very good episode.
Oh my god, I cannot wait to talk about Greg.
It's the election. It starts with
Tom and Greg.
Tom is stressing out.
It's classic Tom and Greg. We're returning to our roots.
We are returning to our... It does feel like a return to
the
Tom
wasabi
Greg.
Scene, really returning to classic Tommy Greggies. Tom is stressed out because he is the head of ATN, and accurate election numbers are under his purview as whatever the fuck he does.
Right, right.
And also, it needs to be a night of good ratings and, like, well-delivered information, and a lot can go wrong, so Tom is stressed.
And it's confirmed he did not sleep last night.
Really? I didn't...
I think he says that. He's like, yeah, I barely slept, marital strife or whatever. And also, this is something I was talking to a friend of the pod, Jaxie, about, how I never picked up, and I don't even think we said it on the podcast, how that whole episode, last episode, he's talking about how bad he needed to sleep, and then the episode ends with him, like, wide awake.
Yeah.
Like, and I never clocked the fact that he wasn't sleeping, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's not sleeping.
Period.
So point is, he's running on no sleep.
You literally talked about the shot last episode of Suck Off. Because you compared it to the one where he was wide awake and then met up with Greg in the diner in season 3, I think.
I don't remember recording the last episode. So, moving on.
You're still drunk from the night
before. Moving on. Basically, it's projected... Okay, before we get anywhere, have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
No.
Oh, fuck. Well...
pretend like I did.
Elliot from Breaking Bad shows up in this episode. He plays Darwin.
I love Darwin.
Yes. Amazing character. But that actor is from Breaking Bad. And
does he play someone just as serious but silly on Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Great.
Because he plays kind of Walt's like old friend. I haven't watched in a while, so like bear with me here. But he plays like the friend that like actually was able to profit and get success off of Walt's idea and like
meth?
Sees all this success. Not meth, but like original chemistry shit.
Oh.
And he kind of like flourishes and becomes a very successful and wealthy man. And
isn't that fabulous?
Fabulous for him. Anyway, this is not a Breaking Bad podcast. But
perfect casting too, because you just get what this guy's all about by one look at him.
Yes. Yes.
Like, just one expression on his face, and you're like, this man is like,
right.
He's worked here a long time. He's haggard. He's run down. He's clearly very good at what he does.
Controls the room better than Tom ever could.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're talking. While he's kind of like explaining the projections and stuff, Greg is explaining his night with Madsen, where he's like, we danced with an old man who didn't want to dance.
I danced with an old man, and they made me do it, and the old man didn't know what was going on. And you know what? What a rich and dense text.
So good.
Latent homosexuality in there, like, right. They're kind of making fun of little gay Greg.
Uh-huh. When he was like, I drank things that aren't meant
supposed to be
drunk. I was like instantly thinking back to Tom drinking his own cum.
Yeah.
And Tom gives him that look, and I'm like, huh. Interesting, the nights they had.
Because you know what? I haven't really, except for episode one where Greg came up behind Tom, I've not cared about Tom and Greg's homosexuality this season.
In a while.
It's just not come up.
No.
Irrelevant to the plot.
Yeah.
The best tweet that I've ever seen is, Kendall is literally bisexual. It's just irrelevant to the plot.
Yeah.
So Tom and Greg being homosexuals together, irrelevant to the plot, but it kind of comes back this episode in a way
totally.
That I enjoy.
Little, big
time. Little flavor. It reminds me of the old days.
Absolutely. I mean, he says literally that he's like, you're demoted to Greg for the night.
Yeah,
or,
I need you to be my Greg, Gregging for me. I don't want Samson doing it. I want you doing it.
Yeah.
Gregging for me.
But there's a good line in this interaction where he's like, I kind of learned about Mattson's situation with Shiv and like, how much do you know about this? And Tom is kind of, because Tom does know about it.
Yeah.
But he's kind of answers like, I shouldn't know or something weird. And then he compares information to a bottle of fine wine. And he's like, you store it, you take care of it, and then when the time is right, you smash someone's head in with it. Which I think is so... I mean, Tom's been about wine. We talked about it last episode, like his whole wine
thing. Oh, so now you remember.
Thing. And I just think it's interesting how... I don't think that... I mean, I'm sure there's like a deeper analysis someone can make for what the wine means to Tom. But I think on a surface level, like, I just like the fact that it's... He's a character where he's taken something that used to be like romantic and personal and has turned into a very like, I don't know, violent,
I was going to say, yeah, it weaponizes
it. Yeah. And I feel like wine is like the perfect thing to use that for. Because that's not the only part of this episode where... Like, he's kind of thrown out that whole romance fantasy thing he used to live in. There's another scene that we'll talk about. But anyway.
I'm throwing up.
I love it because that's just such a perfect first scene to, like, kick off an episode where, yeah, they just use each other. Or they use information against each other and kind of smash each other's faces in.
Now, the stakes for the episode are laid out in such a beautiful way. But to give, dare I say, a high-level overview.
Yeah.
The election is happening. It seems like Jimenez is going to win by basically everybody's calculations.
Yep.
However, there is a fire at a poll count or a ballot counting place in Milwaukee, notably a pretty Democratic city, that basically burns all of the ballots that were there. This is likely a Mencken group thing, not sanctioned by Mencken, obviously, but you know, like probably neo-Nazis doing it. Not confirmed, but come on now.
Right.
And if those ballots are not counted, the counts in Wisconsin would go to Mencken.
Exactly.
Therefore, Mencken would actually win the election if, like, those 100,000 ballots just disappeared.
Yes.
The question is, then, do we count those ballots, like, in theory? Do we wait for a recount, or do we just call it for Mencken?
Right.
Like, those are kind of the three options we're staring in the face here, and obviously the Roy siblings have different reasons for wanting different things.
Yeah.
And that's, oh, yum, 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 yum. It's so juicy. It's so bad and so good.
And it's like kind of, it's like a roller coaster of why it would be a good thing for Mencken to win, why it would be a bad thing. Like, characters, I feel like, go back and forth a lot this
Kendall
episode.
Kendall specifically is like...
Kendall has no idea what he's doing.
In many ways, could not give less of a shit, but also cares so much he's going to die.
Right.
And he manages to be both. He contains multitudes.
I feel like Connor and Roman really are like the only two characters here that... like recognize the insignificance of this election to them and they look at it purely as just another day at the office, basically. And that's why I think they do so well this episode, those two specifically. And it's not to say that I'm obviously I'm not with them on that, but like, for in their position, it's like they should just be looking at this as a business move. And that's kind of what Roman does. And Yeah.
Oh, they're so evil. Just evil rich white people doing evil rich white people stuff. Like, right. It's compelling. Of course I want Roman to win.
Exactly.
I want fascism in the country.
Well,
like, I'm saying, yeah. Really, it's yeah. entertaining fucking TV. So right. I'm so happy Roman won.
I mean, literally at the beginning when they're talking about it, Roman is like, my team plays your team. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he looks at, I know, like, it got to a point where, like, a lot of people look at politics that way anyway. But, like, he kind of gets to the gist of what we're dealing with here is, like, yeah, it's like Shiv's team and Roman's team. And
but Shiv, unfortunately, is well-versed in politics and is like, it would actually be bad for the country if yeah. Macon was the president. And Roman's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because they don't live in the country. I saw, maybe this was a tweet at some point, or maybe Jesse Armstrong said this, but uh-huh. somebody asked him, like, was there COVID in-universe in Succession? Mm-hmm. And Jesse Armstrong was like, even if there was, this would not impact the Roy siblings even right. a little bit. You know, like, they exactly. just do not live in the rest of the country.
Right, so, right.
No clearer of an example of this is this election, you know?
Yeah.
Shiv can argue in theory that it's bad for the country, but, like, for her, right. as Tom said last episode, she will always be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why it's interesting with Kendall, because I feel like you could make the argument that he, of all the siblings, is most connected to normal people compared to the rest of them.
Yeah.
I saw an interesting article about Fikret, his driver, mm-hmm. and how Kendall is like the only one that refers to the people closest to him by their like first names, like mm-hmm. Jess, him. And
I don't know why I screamed when Fikret got that shout out at the end. I was huge, like, Fikret is back.
Huge. He's back. This is no how, screen time.
This
Zero.
Is how he can become CEO still.
He's really the new Colin is what we're it's, dealing with here.
Oh, my God, yes.
Fikret's Colin. Rava, speaking of cars, Rava and her daughter Sophie,
yes.
They're being followed by an SUV, which ends up being someone that Kendall actioned mm. to follow them for their safety.
And Rava is increasingly nervous that Sophie is being hate crimed.
Right.
To put it undelicately.
Exactly.
And this is a motivating factor for Kendall throughout the episode. If
yeah.
Mencken, a racist, you know, fascist, whatever, wins, yeah. this will emblazon?
Yeah.
Definitely embolden. I don't think emblazon. Right. I don't mm-hmm. think emblazon is a word. And I think it works. A little foolish.
Jeremy Strong
would
approve.
Embolden a lot of the worst people in the country to get more actively racist.
Right.
And
right.
that would be bad for his child, who is a person of color.
Which is, yeah, I think that's like a huge, if Kendall has any motive this episode, that's what he has, is yeah. like the way this will affect his family, because that's really the only thing he can care about at this point. And we'll talk a little bit about that with his like conversation with Shiv.
Do you want to go chronological, or do you want to go character by character?
I kind of want to go chronological. Good. For okay. this one. There's a, I wanted to talk a little bit about when Kendall calls. Well, first of all, he does this call and he's like, tell Sophie I do everything I do for her, which is a Logan line.
It's giving
line.
Logan.
It's giving
yes.
Logan. But he calls Jimenez because he wants to kind of like start that deal, assuming he wins, like
yeah.
kind of start, a, I don't know, working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I didn't pick up on this until the second watch, that like that call goes so poorly. There's obviously no conversation at all, mostly because I feel like he's being careful.
Right, that's what I was gonna say.
Right,
it's increasingly clear, like, I know that people are smart. This guy is young. I think he's also smart and
yeah.
privy to the fact that basically any phone conversation can probably be accessed.
Right.
And he's also in a room full of people, so if he's like talking positively to mm-hmm. Kendall Roy on the phone,
yeah,
like Mattson said, you know, in season 3, like, it's every single expression or every single word that he says
yeah
means something to other people.
Exactly.
So the best he can give is like, okay, yes man, mm-hmm. we'll talk.
Exactly. And I think it's really interesting that they cut from that to Roman meeting with Mencken, and he walks in and they're like standing on opposite sides of the room, like
yelling
a whole group
other.
Of people are in between them and they're having this conversation.
Yeah, and Roman's like, listen, are we going to make a deal or not? And Mencken is like, yes, if you elect me president.
Yeah.
You know? Or if I lose, I would like a good narrative. Thank you, Roman.
Right. It's just very upfront
yeah.
and it works. And I'm just like, you can kind of see like that is the guy who would work better with this company
yeah.
from the get go. So yeah, I just thought that was a good, I love the way they shot that, how it's like Mencken is just so far away. He looks kind of creepy.
Yeah.
It's great.
He's an unsettling, every time I see on the subtitles that they're talking to Jared with a Y.
It's so Republican.
Chills down my spine.
It's crazy.
And then he gives Roman a little, like, you know,
yeah.
homosexual pat on the chest.
Yep.
Yum.
But he's, yeah, they're basically, he's like...
Sent Roman eggplant emojis? Sorry, it must be remarked upon.
Not like Gil's four smiley faces. No. Not as horny.
Gil, by the way, is vice president on the ticket. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
I saw you tweet about it and I was like, you're wrong. Gil is vice president on the ticket.
I just tweeted that because I was like, it's the Bernie equivalent and it'd be funny if... Yeah.
No, because I saw it was like Jimenez and then under Evis, like, let's do this or
interesting,
whatever.
Interesting, okay. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, unless I'm just lying.
No, I believe you. I decided to start lying, so. Speaking of little hidden texts, did you pick up on Connor's campaign slogan?
No.
It's just, enough already. It's perfect. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Connor Roy, enough already.
This is why I voted for him.
This is why I'm a proud conhead through and through.
That's ridiculous.
It's phenomenal. Anyway, yeah, Megan's basically like, if I lose, I need you to twist it in a way that makes this a massive victory for me.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, good, great.
Cool beans.
Anyway, moving forward.
Okay.
Connor... I guess we could just talk about Connor.
Thank God we have Connor, the wasabi scene, and like a little bits of Greg that are funny in the episode.
Yep, yep.
Because every Connor scene was so good. And it's so good because like Connor and Willa really believe he could have won the election, yep. As does every delusional human being in that room. And so...
His woe man.
Watching him lose Kentucky is genuinely devastating for him and could not be funnier for the audience. That is what the beauty of Connor Royce. He's so serious.
Exactly.
So
it is such a great scene because I was getting emotional because they do this like slow push in as he like realizes it. And Logan, Willa's just like, oh no, oh no. And he like kind of like drops his head.
Oh my God. And then Willa's like, fuck Kentucky. And he's like, I shan't become that person. Alas, Kentucky.
Alas, vanity. And then it cuts. And it's like this beautiful music playing. And it's like so patriotic. And like, I'm like, oh my God, why do I feel for him right now? And then I started like laughing because I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh yeah, it's comedic gold.
It's because we
so
all knew this
funny.
Was going to happen. He turns off the TV. It's so perfect. It's perfect. And the, oh my God, the lines before that where he's like, an election night is so much more fun when you're a
in
part
it.
Of it. Yeah, when you're in it.
And he's so right.
And she's like, in it to win it. It's just, she's in the red dress. It's perfect.
I love Connor and Willa's stupid little relationship, and I know it's complicated, and I know there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But I'm just delighted when I see them on screen together.
It's amazing.
Like, in season four, you know? Because seasons one through three, I see them on screen together, and, like, my butthole would clench a little bit. But like, you know, they're going through a 10-day really awesome streak in season four. So
right.
These are the best 10 days of their
relationship.
They're
winning
ever.
Nonstop. Yeah. Even if he's losing, it ends up being a win.
Massive victory.
Because he's like, he's basically like, I put $100 million into this. Can I at least have something to Roman?
Yeah. And at that point, when Connor approaches Roman, Mencken is not doing so hot in the polls. Not, you know, like, it seems like Jimenez is still going to win.
Right.
And the West Coast is still open.
Yeah, yeah.
So if Connor concedes the race right now to Mencken, then there could be some conheads out in Alaska. As we mentioned the other episode, conheads in Alaska
amazing
who are
writing.
Like, okay, fine, I'll vote for Mencken, you know, and that might swing it. So.
Exactly. And he gives a speech where he's like, America beef. Be scared or something, like, fear not, the conheads are coming.
Suckling from the teat of, like, whatever it was. It's just a disgusting Connor Roy language that only he, for some reason, decides to speak.
I happen to be a billionaire. Sorry.
He's so mean.
Insane.
That's me, like...
It's so good.
That's me putting my credit card down for, like, all my friends at the restaurant.
Yeah, you happen to be a...
They're all gonna Venmo me later, you know? I happen to be a billionaire.
Sorry. Just like the editing of like cutting from like Kendall like putting his face in his hands is just brilliant.
Roman watching with and shit. Oh,
it's perfect.
It's everything. Connor is probably I think he is my favorite character.
He's the best character. It's a shame. I was sad because I was like, damn, it's now the president thing is over. Like he can't really do anything.
Yeah, Connor's arc over. Is functional. Well, no, it's not because there's still the funeral.
There's
so still
Connor's the funeral. Still
stuff
I do think it's fun that, you know, Connor, this whole episode is Roman, like, stepping up as the real CEO mm-hmm. here, and the fact that, like, Connor is talking to him about all this, it's just, it feels very, like, legitimate for Roman.
Yeah.
And I think that's nice.
Oh, and again, in exchange for getting those Alaskan conheads to vote for Mencken,
yes.
Connor then gets a position in, you know, Mencken's cabinet somewhere. Not cabinet, but, you know,
right.
somewhere on his political team. Like
exactly.
Perhaps an ambassador or whatever.
Yeah. We got to talk about the Coke scene briefly, where, it, I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. They just, he, I have it written down. It's a long way back from Pond Life because you failed to get me a double shot. Telling him to give him a coffee, and then he suggests they do, or I think Greg is the one that's like, well, let's do cocaine.
Well, yeah, Greg is like, I have the stuff that you asked me for, and Tom is initially reluctant, but then they do it behind a whiteboard that they're pretending to erase. Yeah. And then Tom tucks the cocaine back in Greg's breast pocket.
That's all
I have to say about something about Greg this episode, and you can't get mad at me.
I know what you're going to say. You texted me about it, and then you tweeted, I have something to say that you guys can't make fun of me. I was like,
I wanted to say, hear me out. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Because Front of the Pod Miles, like, responded to my tweet. So that I didn't know if he would get from the context of just hear me out, you know?
No.
But hear me out.
Hear me out. I'm telling you, and I think it's because, like, he's been such a non-character all season that, like, these last two episodes specifically, he's become such a guy.
Yeah.
And has, like, really put his power to use.
You know what? They also. I'm now going to start commenting on Greg's body, but I promise it's not in a horny way. It was just like the first thing I noticed in the episode, the first Greg scene. Usually when he's in suits, like all up until now, they've been so big on him and so ill-fitting and like he looks so skinny in them.
Yeah.
But the first shot that he's standing, like he's got kind of like a gut, you know?
Yeah.
Like he actually has just filled out.
Right.
And is wearing clothes that are appropriate.
Absolutely.
So it's just like.
Cut his hair.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just like a clear physical transformation in addition to like a character transformation.
Definitely.
That, you know, is noticeable. At least
I'm assuming that's like something that the wardrobe and hairstyle take into consideration. What?
I just started nodding and then I realized they couldn't hear me nodding, so I decided to say it, but then that was interrupting you. So then I felt weird and then stopped talking.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the nod. Christian's nodding. The touchscreen malfunctions.
Oh, yes.
This is like the first bit where like chaos just ensues.
Yeah.
And this show's so good at just making the smallest like little dramatic things happen, and that I did listen to our enemy, the official Succession podcast. Yeah, Kara Swisher. One of our reviews is fuck Kara Swisher.
That is so mean.
Someone wrote fuck Kara Swisher.
Oh my god. Why do you have to pit two beautiful women against each other? I will be honest though, I've never once listened to Kara Swisher's podcast.
That's the thing, as I've tried.
It's just not for you.
It's too official. It's too official. Oh. Like, she's clearly not a fan.
Oh.
We're fans. but anyway, I did listen to the one about this episode.
Okay.
And she had, like, a political consultant on to talk about
this.
Because that, I was like, that's interesting to see. And it seems like they were very accurate with how they went about this, like, election night and who has the right roles in the office and what would happen, what wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And when asked about the touchscreen thing, they're like, that would just never happen.
Really?
They were like, we would have a plan for that, like, weeks in advance, and, like, we would make it so that that would just never, the audience would never notice.
Huh.
Which just goes to show ETN's, like, incompetence.
Yeah.
The fact that it is a shit show.
And
but
it is also a TV show, you know? So things that don't happen on TV.
Exactly. But that happens. And it's kind of like a one piece of like this larger thing of Tom feeling inadequate in this position and everyone else thinking he's inadequate. And like, I like the line where he's kind of freaking out about everything and he's like, do I look like no one? Am I no one? And I love that because of how things play out for Tom and where he ends up at the end of this episode.
Yes.
But yeah, anyways, they're trying to figure out the touchscreen thing.
They're failing, and Tom is just fielding so many phone calls from Kendall,
who,
in this election, like, the best he can do is just call someone else and be like, do your job
better.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know how Kendall has not encountered a knife inside of his stomach.
Right. Exactly.
That'd be the first thing I did.
Yeah. He should have an SUV following him for his protection.
I'm saying.
Exactly.
From me.
Yeah. Anti-Kendall, pro-Greg. I'm just...
It's because I'm truly a Logan. So I would write Greg on my will and cross Kendall out.
Right, right.
Yeah, then what happens? I forget.
So amidst all of that is when the fire stuff really starts coming to light. And I like it because, breaking it down, Roman is like, do you hear what Antifa did? They're Antifa fires. And Shiv is like, this is obviously Mencken. Kendall doesn't know what it is, but thinks they should report it.
Right.
And Tom, which I didn't really get at first, but now totally makes sense, is like, we shouldn't report it until we, like, really know what it is, because we want to keep our values as ATN. And it's like, if we report this poorly, you know, it could make it look weird for either candidate.
You know what he said? He said, we need to respect our viewership, which is so funny, because in the recent Fox Dominion lawsuit settlement or whatever, that was the main thing they kept saying when they were pushing, like, election conspiracies. To give a bit of context, I'm sorry, if you're not familiar with the Fox Dominion settlement. Dominion is like the election, like ballot counting service or whatever from 2020. And on Fox, they were like, Dominion is like an inadequate service. It's easily hacked. It's this, this, and this, like basically slandering this company. And so they sued for, among other things, I assume libel. Mm-hmm. Because, again, Fox was pushing these conspiracies that, like, Dominion is failing, therefore the election was stolen, Trump actually won, etc., etc. So in, like, what emerges from this lawsuit are these texts between, like, Fox executives being like, we need to respect our viewership, we need to respect our viewership. Respect your viewership just means, like, keep pushing conspiracy theories that they believe already.
Right.
And so when Tom said that line, I was like, oh, that's the real world.
Yeah, that was probably a direct reference to that.
I can imagine, like, a rewrite might have happened or something. Like, we need to respect our viewership. Or they're just really good at satire, which they already are. So I can totally believe that.
That's interesting. I will say it is, I mean, this is, like, it's clearly very close to the, like, 2016 election night, the way they go about this one. And it could so easily be cheap and, like, kind of cringy the way they do this, but it doesn't end up being that way.
I think because it's character driven, like, that's kind of why it's a satire on political stuff, because none of them are focused on political stuff. They're just focused on knifing the fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
And therefore emerges a commentary on American politics that isn't annoying. It's just like, damn, we're watching characters who suck.
Right.
This rules. And also, damn, isn't that how it'd be?
Yeah. It was both, like, so less serious than the actual election, but, like, more terrifying.
Yeah.
And stressful just being in it.
Yeah.
Like Connor said.
Period.
So anyway, the fire thing, it's just like it's too early to call what it is.
And then when Tom says we need to respect our viewership, it's sort of like, I think that means they're still deciding what the narrative is.
Exactly.
Right, which is going to be Antifa.
Right.
Basically the talking points that Roman sends over to the Tucker Carlson stand-in.
Yeah. Well, there's, like, that small moment where someone from their team... Well, okay, so there's two things happening at once here. Nate is on the phone that's like, can you please report these fires?
Because
it would be good for us, because obviously it's Mencken, and this is, like, this makes them look really bad. But on the other end, Roman gets a call from someone from Mencken's side that's like, can you control the narrative a little bit here? And Roman's like, yeah, for sure. And
Roman, God bless him, he gets a job done.
He gets the job. It's like, this is his bread and butter.
Oh, yeah.
Which, speaking of, okay, yeah. I don't want to jump ahead, but... So,
of bread and butter?
Well, there's a scene where they're talking about the fires and how to talk about it. Actually, this is a good time to bring this up.
Yeah.
They're all getting in a fight, all the siblings, and Shiv is like, no, this is, like, bad. Like, it's, you can't call Wisconsin, blah, blah, blah. They have their fight. And Roman is like, I'm gonna go take a shit. And he doesn't end up taking a shit. He goes...
It's a Rick and Morty move.
Well, he goes and he, like, puts out the talking points to the anchor, and it's like this just really intense, like... I mean, I don't know how to describe it. Just...
Yeah, he goes on a Tucker Carlson-esque rant of saying, the left knew that they were doing bad in Milwaukee, so they started these fires as a false flag.
Ever heard of picky fires? They only, like...
Yeah, suddenly a fire, like, only benefits, you know, Republicans now. It's a fire with a view.
So he literally controls the narrative and, like, sends out these talking points to the anchor. Which is, like, a crazy... It's a crazy look for ATN to be this, like, strong on this side of the view.
Because they were mentioning that, like, the in-universe stand-ins for like OAN and whatever are right. already reporting on this and already yeah. kind of calling it for Mankin and mm-hmm. all this stuff, and they need to sort of either get in, you know, shit or get off the pot, you know? Uh-huh. Are you guys on the Republican side and like, yeah. you know, you're going to report this or what?
And it's a major turning point for Roman in the episode making this move, because it's kind of like this whole season has been him like trying to assert his power and like do things impulsively, but it doesn't work out, mm-hmm. or the siblings like take over, and it feels like this episode he just finally just went for it.
Yeah, he's
really worked out for him, and it all started because he said he was going to go take a shit, which goes back to my theory that every time a bathroom is involved, this man makes the play of a lifetime. And that was the point I was going to say with bread and butter. Was that it's
I can't stand you.
I'm just... It's crazy how when he said, I'm going to go take a shit, I was like, here it comes.
Something big's coming.
It's going to be an amazing thing that happens for him. And it was. It's every single time.
That is so funny.
It's an insane, it's so consistent, this show, with Roman in bathrooms. Anyway.
God bless you.
So that happens. And I love it. I hate him so much in this moment, but I love it so much. Because when he's like walking up the stairs... And Kendall's like, I don't feel particularly good about this, Rome. And he's like, shucks. And then he yeah. just walks on by.
Yeah, he's done a lot of acquiescing this season. Like, starting in episode right. one when he's like, okay, fine, we'll buy Pierce. Or, yeah. you know, episode 5 or 6, he's like, okay, fine, we'll try and sabotage the Gojo deal.
Yeah.
Like, all this acquiescing has finally led him to just be like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
I also like the imagery of that little moment, the symbolic... Like, Kendall's, like, standing on the stairs and Roman walks right up past him. And it's, like, it truly is, like, he's now kind of the true CE bro.
Yeah, because the president is in his pocket. He's the one exactly. controlling the narrative.
Right.
He's the one who's calling the shots and, ugh, yum, yum.
It's amazing. And that's the thing is, like, when they call, the thing is, because it's kind of a given that Mankin would get Arizona and get the rest, it was, like, kind of all relying on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So calling Wisconsin was a big deal, because if you call Wisconsin, you're basically calling the election, because when they eventually call Arizona, you can't walk back on it.
Yes.
So calling Wisconsin was like, that was the big argument. When they decide they're going to do it is when he gets wasabi in his eye.
Yeah. Greg Tom and Darwin is his name, right?
Yep. Darwin.
Darwin says, I will call Wisconsin as long as I'm on screen explaining that it's a pending call.
Right.
You know, like, we're waiting for further information, but if we counted the votes right now, it is Mankin. That is true.
Yes, yes.
So I'm willing to go on screen and do that. And then Tom and Greg are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So then he sits down to do it and then gets wasabi in his eye. And then Greg pours the Croy in his eye to try and wash out the wasabi.
It's lemony.
It's lemony.
It tastes it. And he's like, it's not even that lemony.
Explaining a comedy scene feels so ridiculous.
I know.
God damn, that scene was funny.
It's one of the funniest scenes in the show.
We should be so serious explaining it. It was very funny.
It was very funny.
You see, the thing is,
the water was lemony, and then it wasn't very lemony,
and everybody was freaking out. And
yeah,
I found it quite humorous,
quite comic. So yeah, that happens. And then they
literally never do the pending call thing. Like, it was pretty clear from the start they're right. lying, you know?
I like that in that scene, though, is when Tom is like, I make the call. It's my call at the end of the day. And then later on, when it's like the actual call to make the election, he's like, this is you guys' call.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think just speaks to how sly Tom is at the end of the day.
He's a worm.
He's a worm. Tiny and he knows worm. What he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess we could just skip forward to, they're basically deciding on if they should to call the election, because they're like, Arizona is going to be him, mm-hmm. as we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendall, it starts with Roman and Kendall, because Kendall's like, I don't know if we should do this, man. We can just walk it back. It makes us look unprofessional. Mm-hmm. I think his thing at the end of the day is that he doesn't want this Gojo deal to go through, and...
Yes.
They would block, the left side would block the Gojo deal. Or No.
Incorrect, yeah.
It's the other way. You explained it. I got lost.
Mankin would block the Gojo deal,
yes.
which is ultimately what Kendall wants.
Mm-hmm.
Jimenez would not block the Gojo deal. He would probably just wave it through. However, right. If Mankin wins, then people are going to be racist to his daughter. Again,
yes.
this is indelicately explaining it, but just to, you know.
Right.
Make it clear. If Jimenez wins, then democracy wins, I guess. And
yep.
Racists are less bold or emboldened to, you know, act right, in political right. violence. and that would benefit his family, Kendall.
The thing about this is I don't trust Mencken to actually go through with that. He kind of...
I actually do, but you tell me why.
Well, I just feel like he's the kind of guy that's like anything to get him through this night and get him on screen and like get this power. It's like... It's like the same thing of what we've been seeing all season where it's like, just say whatever so that you can get this one moment and then you don't actually have to commit to what you plan.
The reason I disagree is because it does him no harm to like block this deal.
It's true.
Like, it's not like his presidency will benefit if Gojo acquires Waystar. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. Right. So
he just sees it as a thing he can use to get their support.
And, you know, Jimenez and the Democrats, you know, like, oh, they don't do all these shady backroom deals. So,
right.
You know, I actually do think Mencken will block the Gojo deal if he's told. Okay. That's my theory, though. We have 2 days left in this whole fucking show, so I don't know.
Yeah.
He literally will not be inaugurated, you know, because we have 2 days left, so there's literally nothing we can do or know.
Yeah.
Unless there's, like, a time skip in the episode 10.
Yeah, but... which is a feature-length episode, if you saw it. It's going to be, like, 90 minutes long, which...
The Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that.
Okay, so, yeah, that's why when he goes to Shiv... Well, okay, before we get to Shiv... He's talking to Roman, and Roman brings up the fact that it's like anytime they had like dinner, he wanted steak and he wanted chicken, and like they always did steak because everybody got it Kendall's way.
Incorrect. They always did chicken.
Oh, it was the and different Roman way. Wanted oh, steak. Wanted the he wanted the steak. Sorry.
You're welcome for eagle eye.
What
meals.
Am I doing here?
No, I'm being pedantic. I'm sorry.
No, this is why this is the recap podcast. We got to be.
Got to be more on it.
Got to be on it. But that's like, Kendall has a great line. He's like, well, so because I wanted chicken, I should support the fascist. And Roman's like, yeah.
Yeah, Roman's like, that's exactly what's going on. Like, yeah. It is because I'm personally mad at you and I would like to do this.
Right. Which I think is like, the core of the show is that all, like, these are the people deciding for America their future. And it all comes back to their own, like, family trauma and, like, memories and grudges.
Yeah.
And I like this scene a lot because it's like, Kendall is on the opposing side of being like, no, we should think about. He's like, I do think all the different people together is nice, which is such a funny way of putting it.
Yeah,
like, he's like, he's basically like you said, yeah, he's worried that his kid is gonna get yelled at and things are gonna get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But jumping ahead a little bit, Kendall ends up going with the same thing because of old grudges and familial trauma because of the betrayal between him and Shiv. It's such a just these the last 20 minutes is just upsetting.
We've not talked about Shiv enough this episode.
No, saving her for last. Yeah.
It merges very quickly a Shiv episode. Mm-hmm. Like it's her downfall. It's time. It's time
it's
to
a
lose.
Lot, yeah,
girl bosses. It's time to become girl failures.
Right. It kind of well. It starts with her kind of like running to everybody. To kind of like get what she needs. And
yeah. And she's constantly being excluded. Right. She has no real power here. She's, I don't even think she has a Waystar login.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Nate,
no, she does. I'm kidding.
Nate is like, are you in at ATN? Like, can you do something about the coverage here? And she's basically like, I can't really do anything. She calls Mattson, and Mattson's like, by the way, Greg knows. And she's like, oh. And then can't really do anything about that. And he's like, I think we should keep my little secret a secret. And
about his wonky numbers in India.
Right.
She's trying to coordinate, like, if you release them tomorrow, it either, like, won't be a big deal or, yeah, like, we'll get a lot of news coverage or something, whatever.
And he wants to keep it a secret.
Yeah, and she famously wants this deal to go through, but she is now aware that she's chained herself to an anchor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it is drowning very quickly. Anyways, when Mattson tells her that he was hanging out with Greg and, like, asked Greg about a business decision.
Gregory Peggory.
She then goes to Greg to confront him.
Yeah. Right.
And she says, do you find me attractive?
And then, they're cousins, by the way.
Something shifted in the air for me. I went, oh, no. Is this going to get... Is this, like, you know, Riverdale? I was like, do it, Shiv.
I thought for a second
something
was going to happen in that room. As like a power play of like, well, I'm going to cheat on Tom's guy. Or, just going to cut that. Anyway.
I honestly also thought something was going to happen.
We all thought something was, there was tension.
Yeah, it's just because it's a really well done show.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
That tension in the air, and then Greg's like, what? I don't think about that at all. So then Shiv unnecessarily intimidates him and says like, I will kill you. And the whole time I'm watching the scene, I'm like, this is a bad move.
It's a bad move.
She can't do anything to Greg, and he's in Tom's pocket, and Tom, at this point, has more power than her.
Exactly.
Oy vey. So, then Greg leaves, and I'm immediately like, Greg is not taking this to heart. Like, he knows.
Well, because he's like, is there an offer here? Like, mm-hmm. what happens if I don't? Like, what will you do for me? And she's like, I'll take your guts out of your asshole.
Yeah.
And, which is like that typical Succession bullshit where it's like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah,
though?
Will you sign a paper?
It was basically, no, there isn't an offer. And yeah. The takeaway from that scene is just that Greg should kill Shiv.
Yeah.
That, like, she's a danger to him. Mm-hmm. And he has been good with Kendall all season. Yeah. So obviously when Kendall asks, he's like, yeah, Shiv is with Mattson on this. It just is like... Like, of course.
That of course. Scene. Too, well, I guess we'll talk about that scene in a minute.
Yeah.
Then, I actually don't know if I'm even saying this in the right order, but Shiv pulls Tom aside and
but, yeah,
for some reason wants to apologize for last night, which, I mean, like, no, she doesn't.
I think it's because, like, Tom is, like, being weird about the coverage with the fires, and she's like, well, I need to do this for my sake, so let me try and, like, persuade him to and do what I want by apologizing.
Yeah, and then it's like, I just wanted to apologize to you, you know, in case you wanted to, and, you know, the rest of the sentence being like, do the same.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
He's like, how should I frame my face?
How should I look when you're doing this?
Yeah.
And the acting is so good in this scene because he's so revolting, you know, like just, he's so broken and mad and bitter. And then he says something, you basically killed your dad.
Yeah.
Sorta. And she's like, great, that's what I remember, sorta. By the way, I'm pregnant with your child on Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, on Mother's Day. It was a very like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant.
And then he gives, I couldn't even think of a worse response than, is that even true or is that a tactic?
Now, here's what's crazy about it, is that you could make the case it maybe was a tactic because she came in there apologizing as a tactic. Yeah. In a way, Tom was fucking right. But he's also a terrible, it proves that he has gone full, like, Logan. You come to me with love?
Yeah.
Like,
there
moment.
Was no humanity left.
Yeah, it was that kind of scene.
And he's so broken, he would think that she's lying to him about being pregnant with his child.
His child. Oof. I'm like, imagine...
Something he's wanted this whole time.
Right. Just imagine as a kid, that's your dad's response to hearing you're gonna happen.
That was my dad's response.
Am I a play? Was I a play this whole time?
My dad was, uh-oh.
Really? That was the response.
It was like, ah!
Yoinks!
Cheekies!
Alright, so, basically, another thing about that is, so that happens, and then she goes to her brothers, and is like, so, this Tom can't be trusted. And Roman's like, should we kill him?
And yeah, I really do like that they're immediately kind of ride or die, even though Roman and Shiv have been fighting this whole episode. He's like, do you want us to kill him?
Yeah.
We will.
And Kendall is like, we got you.
And she wants to tell them, but she can't.
Yeah, she can't. Well, because also he just like fucking walks by and it's like, So all this leads to she's just getting like basically rejected nonstop this episode. It's like one thing she thought she could win Tom over with didn't work.
Yep.
Mattson is over there with Greg.
Mm-hmm, a wild card.
Yeah.
Then Kendall, for the first time in basically the entire show, it's not the entire show, but like Kendall has one of the classic, we're in an office and I'm going to be tender, intimate, and vulnerable with you.
Yes.
And says, I'm threatened by Roman's relationship with Macon.
Right.
Which is crazy that he said it so crystal clear.
I'm convinced it's like he talked to his therapist about this the night before and is using those lines directly, like just referencing them word for word.
He must have.
It's clearly a man who has been seeing a therapist.
Yes, get Kendall in therapy. So he's like, I'm threatened by Roman and Macon's relationship, and I think I could be the CEO, which is why I'm trying to sabotage this Gojo deal.
Right. Yeah.
And Shiv listens to him and is like, tries to appeal to his humanity, you know, you're a good guy. Don't do this Macon thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe think about your daughter. You're a good dad. Just kidding. You're an okay dad.
Yeah. Well, it comes up because he realizes he's gotten himself into such a mess here because he wants Macon to win because he wants to fuck over, he wants the Gojo deal to kind of like prove his dad wrong or like fuck over.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like all of this is to fuck over their dad in a weird way.
And fuck over his siblings. He even said it. He was like, and I wanted to fuck you two over because I want to be the CEO.
Exactly. And it's like, it's kind of a thing of like, do all these bad things that I'm doing for a good thing, which if that even is a good thing, like, am I a good person at the end of the day? It's like he's kind of wrestling with all these conflicting things.
And then he says, I think the poison drips through.
Yeah.
He's been on Twitter reading about himself.
he's been watching the show. And yeah, he just out of nowhere. It was a little abrupt the first time where he's just like, I don't think I'm a good father. And I was like... Like, that was not the conversation we were having. But it is kind of the conversation, because it's like, yeah, supporting Mencken is being a bad father because you're putting your family and your daughter in danger.
Yeah.
And going against kind of what you've been saying.
He called Iverson Ivy.
Yeah. He says Ivy, Shivy. Like, I don't like the names.
Oh, when he said Shivy, it made me think, like, ouch. That's actually cute. I like that one. By the way, I got a haircut, and I have a bob, and I'm ready to serve bob with Miss Chivroy. I'm ready. On the finale night.
Do the bob justice, because clearly she's mm-mm. bad bob representation. That's all I'm saying.
Anyways,
so, yeah. She's like, no, you've been a good dad.
Tries to, again, appeal to his humanity. You're a good person, and good people wouldn't let Mencken win, is like the subtext of what she's saying.
Yeah.
And then they have this, what Kendall thinks is an honest conversation. They do one of those things, which is hug.
Yeah. I love the fact that their hugs, because it was such a big deal season two mm-hmm. when he like came to her and they had that warm embrace. Yeah. And it was like the rare, it was kind of like they will always have each other if no one else. And it's just gotten dulled down throughout the show.
They hug, the less potent it is.
Yeah, the hugs just mean nothing. And to Shiv, literally in this moment, it's like a power tactic. Because she's like, well, Kendall literally said earlier in the episode, we got you. Like, if she has nobody else, she has Kendall. So when he kind of goes to her, she's like, well, this is my moment.
And then he says, okay, like, we've hugged or whatever. Can you please call Nate and try to see if he will block the Gojo deal?
Yep.
Like, you can probably get out of him. She goes and she fakes this phone call because he's blocked her number.
Yeah.
And she's, like, pretending to be like, hi, Nate, can you maybe... So then Roman, Kendall, and Shiv are all in a room. And Kendall's like, hey, Shiv, did you get a hold of Nate? And she's like... Yeah, I did. And he said that they're like cautiously optimistic, but might be able to, whatever. Like, bullshit's an answer. Obviously, bullshitting an answer. Roman sees right through it.
Yep.
So then Kendall goes outside to call Nate. And so all we see is like Roman's still talking at Shiv, just some nonsense conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Kendall fields the phone call, looks at Shiv through the glass, and then she looks back at him, like that meme.
Yep.
And then Kendall like walks a couple paces and goes to Greg, talks to Greg. They both look at Shiv, and then Shiv looks back at them. And then when Kendall comes in, Greg walks like, you know, parallel to the glass and looks at Shiv and like shrugs and then like walks through another pane and then smiles at her. This like, did you catch the smile?
I didn't catch the smile.
Oh my God.
I gotta watch it back.
It was like this, maybe I made it up, honestly. Like maybe I'm gaslighting.
You just saw you.
But in my head, I remember him like, you know, giving the initial shrug and then like walking by and then like smiling like.
Right.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It like stuck with me and it was honestly hot.
And at the end of the day, hot.
There's this episode of BoJack Horseman where they all get trapped underground and there's this random one-off character who's like, I have an orgasm whenever there's a change in power. And then like, you know, since they're all underground, he's just like coming every 5 seconds.
That's the reason you watch this show, I'm starting to realize. You're in it for a different reason.
I'm in it for the pornographic elements. Yeah. Famously a feature of Succession.
It was like the same vibe as the like Tom season 3 betrayal.
Yeah.
It was like no words exchanged, kind of like glances.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So then Kendall comes back in and is like, Shiv lied.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even say that. He just goes, yeah, we're going Mencken. You know, like just immediately like.
Yeah. Well, he's like, Shiv lied. She never talked to Nate. And also she's with Mattson. And that's when Roman's like, what the fuck? And then they're like, Mencken.
Yep.
And then Tom comes in and they're like, Mencken.
And... Oh my God. Tom comes in and Shiv is crying, you know, because she's been caught and is like, come on, guys, democracy.
Right.
Tom says, you sound a little unhinged right now. And then Kendall, even though he was just freshly betrayed, says, you fucking watch it, Tom.
This was, I am going to correct you. That was earlier.
It was earlier.
That was the earlier scene about Wisconsin. Yeah.
Oh.
Because that is when she, when she came to them and was like, we can't trust Tom, and Kendall was like, we got you. And then so when Tom says that, he's like, you fucking watch it.
Oh, that's the best moment of the episode. Like,
that's the most he protects her the whole show.
I screamed at the TV. I was like, get
it's
him.
It's so good.
I was like, get her, Jade.
You sound a little unhinged, Shiv.
Oh, fuck him.
Yeah.
I wanted to...
It's bad.
Like I tweeted, give Siobhan Roy a gun.
She had a gun? Oh my God.
This episode would have been done.
It would have been the Safe Room episode all over again.
Literally. Thank you for correcting me, though. That, you know,
I had to. I was like...
No, you should.
I know when that happened. Because that... when Well, that's the thing is, like, when they decide on Mencken and calling the entire election, Tom is basically put in just, like, delivery boy duty, mm-hmm. where he's like, okay, we'll call it. I'm calling it. And yep. then tells Greg to go tell them, which is then followed with this very... I love this scene between him and Jess.
I don't think I understood the scene.
I feel like there's a few ways to read it.
I would love to know your reading.
I think it's like these two people who are like, their jobs are to like tell other people what to do. It's like, yeah. they don't make the decisions, but they're the kind of reason things happen.
Yeah.
I think Jess kind of looks at Greg in this moment of like, well, this is like too far. Like, yeah, can change this if you wanted to.
She low-key suggests to him, if you don't make it with the information, then the information doesn't get there.
Right, right.
And so that could be, you know, a couple life-changing minutes, mm-hmm. dare we say.
Yeah.
And Greg is like, nope, like, I have to do what I have to do.
Yeah. I think it just, like, speaks to how far Greg has strayed from his humanity.
From God's life.
Yeah, from, like, any, I don't know, anything. Mm. And just moving past that role in the company, basically. And yeah, like, who needs a soul anyway type of behavior.
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing, if it means moving up, like, I will just deliver the news. Because she's like, yeah, literally pressing a button that launches a nuclear attack.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't, there's definitely something more to be said about that scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he was like looking someone in the eye that could be directly affected by this and being like, I'm going to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Because then, you know, it's called, you know, or ATN. I almost said Fox News. ATN calls the election for Mencken. Meanwhile, I don't think we ever see what PGN officially calls the election as. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's assumed, at least to me, that the other networks are like, we cannot tell because there is no Milwaukee.
That is something I was thinking about. I'm like, I think it's very intentional that they never cut to Nate and that party or mm-hmm. like what the other side is saying or doing in this, because it's like, I do think ATN's the only one that's like, we're gonna call it for Mencken, mm-hmm. and Mencken has his speech.
Yeah.
Which his speech, I am too dumb to analyze Mencken's
speech.
Love
this speech.
I think it's a phenomenal speech. Can't get into it.
It was cutting to very specific characters when Mencken, because it's a political speech, right?
Yeah.
And so like, it's relative to Mencken. It's not like Mencken's going on stage and is like, I hate X kind of people.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, America is this land. He's talking entirely in theory. And he's mm-hmm. like, we don't just crown kings because they're, you know, this or that, or we don't mm-hmm. just do shady business deals. Meanwhile, that's all they do.
Yeah.
And it was just cutting to very specific characters during points in his speech that were very moving to me. I loved that scene.
Like the whole crowning of the king section,
it
and then
right
cutting
to
it
Kendall.
To Kendall after the last episode being like, one king, one crown. It's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I agree. I thought it was super moving and just like, I can't analyze this because all I did was like feel it, but I didn't. Yeah.
I'm entertained.
And that's enough.
Must
that's
I
enough.
Say more?
That's a great scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's kind of.
Oh, no. We also get the little sliver of PGN's coverage, which is, we think Tom Wamsgans did this because
yeah.
like, he has a personal investment in the election and like,
right.
he's personally invested with Mencken's team and blah, 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 blah. Oh, so
doesn't
good.
Look like no one to me. He's
yeah.
on TV getting blasted.
Tom's about to die.
Tom's gonna
he's gonna die, girl.
It was a good episode and a bad. It kind of ends up right in the middle for me personally, Tom.
Oh yeah, I actually find it kind of a loss for Tom.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
he's just doing what these unhinged Roy siblings have told him to do,
right?
And he's possibly discredited the entirety of ATN, because if it turns out they either do a recount in Milwaukee or like maybe the ballot survived or whatever,
yeah.
like ATN does lose all credibility, they will probably be sued, like
yeah.
if not by Dominion then by someone,
right? It's like Roman told them to do this, and now if anyone's getting going to go down. It's him. But also, it's like the entire news organization goes down. So it is a loss for everyone.
That is their main money-making machine.
Yeah.
And so, like, will there be a company for the Roys to even run at the end of Succession? I do not know.
Yeah.
Because this is, like, bad.
This is bad, yeah.
Unless it turns out that Milwaukee somehow happened to be Republican.
Right.
Or, like, the laws allow for the Milwaukee ballots to just be burned and that we don't recount them.
Yeah.
Then there really is, you know, if those two things happen, we're square.
Exactly.
However, will those two things happen? We don't know. We have 2 days to find out.
We have a funeral and a wedding. Well, not really. But
imagine.
I wanted to say it, but Shiv has her call with Lucas, which is basically like, we'll deal with the numbers stuff. That's kind of like, she's just ground floor. That's how we end with Shiv. And then Kendall's back in the car where he wants to see his kids really badly and kind of doesn't end up getting to see his kids.
Yeah, they're asleep and Robin wants to be asleep.
Yep. Yeah, at the end of all this, yeah, it's like he's betrayed. He's trying to latch on to any sort of fatherly pride, but it's like, yeah, he can't even see his kids. And then he's like, some people just can't cut a deal.
Some people can't cut a deal, Fikret.
It's amazing. And I have to mention the brief old guard scenes here.
Yes, I was going to say there's like hardly any old guard representation other than them sitting there commenting on how stupid
this
is.
It's so... Well, there's Hugo being like, flop your dick out.
Whip your balls out.
Pop a nut. And then Frank being like, Connor was running for president? Which... I thought was the best line of the entire
show.
Yeah. I clapped.
I don't even think he was on screen when he said it. You know, like, I think it was panning around the room and you just hear Frank be like, Connor was running for president.
And then Carl and Hugo are like, they're all like laughing.
So good.
I love that because, yeah, they're like mocking Jimenez the whole time. But then when Mankin's on screen, they do cut to the old guard and they're like locked in. And
yeah.
It's just.
Oh, yeah. Winner, loser?
Well, I mean,
Shiv lost.
Shiv is the loser. She literally has, like, nothing by the end of
this. Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, maybe her independence from the company and the fact that she's aligned with Mattson will make her the winner at the end of this show if ATN's going down.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the end of the day, yeah, she is on board with the fact that it was a horrible call and...
But now...
Maybe it's not.
The thing is, Mattson now sees that she is completely impotent at ATN.
Yeah.
Which, the whole sort of appeal of Shiv Roy being on his team is that Shiv is very powerful.
She's an in, yeah.
Yeah, she's an in. So now, he realizes, objectively, that she does not have any power at this company. So she's not even really aligned with Mattson anymore. Like, she is, but...
Yeah.
He's gonna cut her off the second he can.
She needs to, like, cash out in some way and just get
out. Fuck off.
She needs to get the fuck out of this company.
Yeah.
Because clearly, what is she accomplishing
here? She needs to go live in the woods and have a CGI daughter that ages up 14 years like it's Twilight.
And that's how the show should end.
Then she should call her Kid Renesmee. Oh my god.
This was all a prequel.
Can I tell you a story?
Nah, go ahead.
Hairdresser today, which, by the way, he bobbed the fuck out of my hair, as we discussed.
Right.
He has a kid on the way. Very exciting for him. And I was like, what are you going to name your kid? And he was like, Memphis Reigns. And I was like, I mean, like, cute, whatever. And he's like, have you ever seen the movie 60 Seconds to Midnight? Or it's a Nick Cage, Angelina Jolie movie.
I've never, no.
It's not, I butchered the title.
Moonstruck?
No, it's Nick Cage and Angelina Jolie. That's all I retained. And he was like, Nick Cage's character is like a mobster, and his real name is, I don't know, Josh, but they call him Memphis, and his last name is Reigns. And so he's naming his kid Memphis Reigns, like, after this Nick Cage movie.
That's crazy.
Rips.
Wait, is it Angelina? Wait a second.
Nick Cage and something. Angelina Jolie. I'm begging you to Google it. It might have 60 seconds in the title or like to midnight. If you just Google Nick Cage and Angelina Jolie, I'm sure you can probably find it. Memphis whatever. Reigns.
We haven't even announced the winner.
Okay, I'll talk about the winner while you're Googling it. I think probably the winner is Roman Roy and fascism.
Memphis Reigns. Yeah.
What's the title of the film?
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds, yeah. I said the winner was, I would say, Mankin.
Yeah.
It's between him and...
He literally won.
It's between him and Roman.
Yeah.
But I think Roman, it's not a locked-in win for me. Like, he may have just destroyed the company.
Very that.
But...
Today.
Today. He had a good episode.
Yeah.
In that a lot of the things he's been trying to do all season finally happened.
The thing that
he's the real CEO.
He came in with one objective, which is get Mencken to win, which there's hardly anything he can do. Like, he can't go out and cast ballots for Mencken. So the one thing he can do is manipulate this news organization to do as much good for Mencken as possible, which he does.
Exactly.
And so, yeah.
It's a win.
It's a win. It's a W for my boy Romy Roy.
Yeah.
Romulus. Nobody's called him Romulus.
They call him Rome. I will say that there was a bit of a cringy moment that I was like, they could have cut it when he's like, we made a night of good television. Nothing happens. And then it cuts to this like close up of Shiv, and she's like,
Things do happen,
Rome.
Yeah.
And I was like, that didn't play the way I think they wanted it.
Also felt a little weird to me, but then I was like, I don't do film, so I was like,
Nah, it was out of place. I was like, they could have cut that.
It was just a little melodramatic.
Definitely. I was like, people who don't watch the show watching that out of context would probably roll their eyes. Yeah. I was like, all right, come on. But anyway.
We're never aligned on these things, so.
For us to, that means something. It means they should have cut that scene.
But then I saw a bunch of people tweeting how impactful it was, and then I'm like, I'm on the wrong side of history.
It was very like, I don't know. It was like Hillary Clinton type.
It was. It was giving
things
Hillary.
Things do happen.
It was giving Kate McKinnon at the piano.
Yes, exactly.
It was in giving, that suit.
It was giving Imagine all the people. Anyway, it's been an hour. We should cut this recording.
Oh, my God.
Thanks. Oh, we have hats.
Oh, fuck. No one's listening at this point.
If you want a hat, link in the bio.
Link in the biome.
Anyway, thanks for listening, and as always,
suck off.
Suck off.